Radio on Sports Byline Network, Sirius Channel 122. Tom Flores, before we let you go, give us your perspective. It's hard to figure out. I know you're not in there every day, but what's your perspective on this hiring of Lane Kiffin at such a young age?
It's hard to imagine anybody coming in with that youth behind him, not a lot of experience, taking over an NFL franchise, but sometimes maybe it's better to hire the unknown than hire the known. The last two hires by the Raiders have been former coaches that just didn't work out. Players didn't buy into their package, and perhaps they'll buy into this one. Give them a chance. I think even more important than that, they have to get someone in that facility that can help them. Football person. Every team, every successful team has a football person like a Bill Polian, other than Al Davis. I mean, he's got to get, Bruce Allen, when he left, they never did really adequately replace him, in my opinion.
Tom, but before I let you go, last question then, because we appreciate your honesty on this. Who would you pick? I mean, frankly, would you ever consider it at your very young age to come back and provide that? Because that's clearly the major piece they're missing.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that I want to work that hard. Shoot, if I was involved, I wouldn't be driving to the golf course right now to play golf.
So, no, you wouldn't.
I enjoy my life right now, although I still have a passion for the game and for the team that I played spent most of my career with. I've never discarded that part of it. I do not want to go back in the field. I know that, but there's always all kinds of challenges, but at this stage, I'd rather just do what I'm doing now and see Lenny twice a year and doing the radio and hopefully not suffer as much as I did last year with that team.
Was that the toughest year ever for you watching this team?
Yes, toughest year ever because I didn't see any progress. Usually you can see progress, you can see this and you can see that. I did not see any progress. And because of that, sometimes you can lose all hope. I haven't lost all hope for the future, but because the team is very young, but they better get back on track pretty soon, and hopefully this young kid can do it. I mean, he takes a lot of energy nowadays, and at 31 years old, he will be 55 years old in about 1 year.
Tom, he's going to be tested. I know that.
Oh, Terry,
hey,
tell me about it. He will be.
Hey, Tom, Len and I wanted to know, when you heard Lane Kiffin say that they will play happy and they will play hard, do you think that maybe the old Tom Flores might have said they will play angry and they will play hard?
Well, first of all, they better play and meet and practice the way they're supposed to, the way they've promised to do. But if they're going to play happy, maybe they've got one guy there that he's not happy. He doesn't even run routes. So, if he's going to be there, got to try to make him happy. But, my feeling is they don't run the asylum. The coaches still should be running the asylum. If the coaches have the respect, show them how to win. And when you do that, the players will buy into it. They have a very young team, with the exception of a couple of guys that were disgruntled last year and it kind of sabotages that team. They have a pretty young football team, but they've got to get two things settled: quarterback and offensive line. Those two areas have to be addressed before they can have successful teams.
Well, Tom Flores, you commanded the respect of those players in a way that you did it in such a subtle way. But as we look back, it was a tremendous achievement, and you were hired at the ripe old age of 41.
Yeah, I was an old man.
Well, we'll let you get to the golf course,
hey,
Tom.
Lenny,
appreciate
Lenny,
it so much.
Don't you be laughing, Lenny. we're the same vintage.
I understand. All too
but
well.
You look marvelous, Tom.
Tom, I'll tell you what. They need the Raiders to come back and play because the league isn't the same without the Raiders being a good football team. They add a lot to professional football.
Absolutely. The old rivalries of the OFL without the Raiders right in the middle of it. You're right.
That's right.
Well, I've got to get ready to tee off here, so you guys have a good day.
You
all
bet.
Right.
Thanks, Tom. Len Dawson, I'll tell you what.
What?
The accomplishment of a Tom Flores in being able to shepherd his team through that period before the Super Bowls is an important one. And as you say, it's been a long time since the Raiders organization has been feared and respected the way they were when Tom Flores was their coach.
Yeah, you know, that's what made it fun playing against the Raiders in those days, because they were a good football team. And if you were going to win, you had to play at your best and be prepared and focused to play those people, because they had an awful lot of talent. And they might have been renegades off the field, but when they got on that field, they were business, and they knew what they were doing. Now, I don't see that now, because doing the Chiefs games on their radio network, I see the Raiders twice a year. And they're not the same as they were several years ago when under Flores. You know, he had Alzado out there. They had the twos. They had some guys that were real characters. But, you know, on game day, they were ready to play. They were focused for that particular game.
Well, we interviewed Solomon Wilcots, who's covering, of course, we have a few things that are different now than they were back when the Raiders were so significant in the mid-80s with the NFL Network, some more intense and intimate interviews. And Solomon Wilcots talked about this interesting style of a Tony Dungy versus a Lovie Smith.
Well, in terms of the mentality and the schemes on offense, you've got with Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts, you've got one that really tries to achieve the perfect balance between the run and the pass. Peyton Manning gets to control all the mechanisms within that offense, the ability to check to the run if you're going to play in coverage and try to take away the passing game. If you only have six or seven in the box, he's going to pound the running game at you. And then if you decide you want to crowd the line of scrimmage, and at that point, then he's going to go up top. So he controls the mechanisms. He's pulling the trigger, and no one does it better than Peyton Manning. I think if you look at the Bears on offense, they get off the bus wanting to run the football. And I think they understand that the offensive line's got to be dominant. The offensive line has to control the game. They want to try to protect Rex Grossman. But if you get to the point where you're crowding the line of scrimmage, you give him an easy throw against one-on-one coverage with the receivers that Stephon Page just talked about, they will take shots down the field at you, and they're capable of beating you. We saw that in the NFC Championship game against the New Orleans Saints.
Len, you look at this matchup. I think the edge has got to go to the Colts, even though, Lord knows, underdogs seem to be winning everything. Just take a look at the BCS, the teams that seem that they have something to prove. But what about just the relationship between a Lovie Smith, who was mentored by Tony, and how much of an effect that will have, between the lines on this matchup?
Well, you got two guys that are very close friends, and they're two gentlemen. You probably know both of them, and, that's the type of people they're going to play, or they're going to be. I think that they're going to be well prepared. These guys do a heck of a job. And, Solomon was talking about Peyton Manning, and I'm just wondering why more quarterbacks don't have, the right to do what he is doing. Because when you see something, to change what their weakness is. Peyton Manning's capable of doing that, but there's an awful lot of teams that do not have a checkoff system. It's such in the hands of the offensive coordinator who's calling the plays, and when you get up to the line of scrimmage, oftentimes I don't even know if Kansas City has an audible system. I don't see it. I'm watching them every ball game they're doing, and I don't see much of it. When you see that there's nine guys up there, like was against the Indianapolis Colts in their first playoff game, and you still try to run it, that's crazy. And so they should be taking advantage of the weaknesses of the defense on any particular play. But as far as these two coaches are concerned, I think that their players love them. We were just talking about the Raiders with Tom Flores, and they got to have somebody in there that's buying what they're saying, what type of a system they have in that. Well, the Bears and the Colts are buying into the systems of their two head coaches, and I think you're going to see a hard-fought game on Sunday. And what the outcome is going to be, I don't know. But I know one thing: defense is one thing you got to have. You got to be able to hold the other team and give your offense some opportunities. And the best defense is going to be the Chicago Bears. Now, is the Colts' defense improved? I'd say heck yes. In the playoffs, what they did against the Chiefs and what they did against the Ravens was phenomenal from what I'd seen them early on in the season. So this should be a good game, Nick. It'll get down to the kickers, I suppose, like it always does.
You know, wouldn't that be interesting if an Adam Vinatieri ends up having to kick the game-winning field goal for a different team? Just what an accomplishment, and what a likelihood that will never be accomplished again if he can pull that off. What about the Bears causing turnovers, their ability to strip the ball, something that Lovie Smith teaches so well? What would you be doing if you're Tony Dungy in coaching your quarterback and your other players to prevent the likelihood that they're going to be very effective at that?
Every day in practice, every day. Do not let that thing hit the ground under any circumstances. Do not be nonchalant about anything. Protect the football. They're going to see it in the tapes of the games that the Bears have played. They're going to see what they were capable of doing against the Saints in the championship game in the NFC. And that was a difference to me. To me, that was a difference in the ball game, because it really shrinks the field for the other, for the Bears. They don't have to go very far to score some touchdowns. So that's going to be the key point. You know, we've talked about this all year long. When you look at the stats, take a look at that giveaway takeaway category, and generally speaking, the team that protects the football will have the best chance of winning.
Well, my pick is that if Indianapolis turns it over two or less times, that they will win. For that very reason, I've been educated, I've been brainwashed by Len Dawson and Marty Schottenheimer. Truly, though, I believe that's the case. When we come back, final thoughts from Len Dawson on this matchup. Talk about maybe a little bit more about the wide receiver position, both teams having so much strength there. Then we'll move on to Rick Bucher from ESPN the magazine on NBA bait, the accomplishment of 17 in a row. Speaking of dominance in Tiger Woods and Roger Federer, how about the Suns with two streaks of 15 or more? And finally, speaking of dominance, we'll talk with Peter Costas for a few minutes at the end about Tiger Woods and his latest accomplishment. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.